State funding for Wisconsin's UW system campuses has been declining for decades. And as we found out earlier this month when Governor Walker released his proposed state budget, it's set to decline once again. The budget proposes a $300 million cut to the UW system in two installments over 2 years. It's a significant amount of money, and some UW officials have said it's going too far and too fast. But the governor also included in his budget changing the UW system into a public authority, meaning management of budgets, building projects, and setting tuition. Those types of things would be decided by the UW Board of Regents, as opposed to politicians in the state legislature. There's a lot to digest in this budget, and there's still a lot of changes that are likely to be made to it. But this hour, we've invited top-ranking officials from the three UW system four-year universities in western Wisconsin to discuss the budget proposal and what it means for their campuses, right here on the West Side. I'm Rich Kramer, and joining me in studio this hour is UW Eau Claire Chancellor Jim Schmidt. Chancellor Schmidt, thank you for joining us.
Glad to be here.
Glad to have you. And joining us by phone, I'd like to welcome UW River Falls Provost and Vice Chancellor for Academic Affairs, Fernando Delgado. Fernando Delgado, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Good to be here.
And finally, I'd like to welcome UW Stout Chancellor Bob Meyer. Chancellor Meyer was formerly the head of the WITC system, and now he's having a baptism by fire, I'm not sure what the terminology is, but either way, welcome to the West Side, and congratulations on your new job.
Thank you, Rich. And it is a baptism by fire, but we're up for it.
Yes. Listeners, we want to hear from you. The number to call in is 1-800-228-5615. The number again, 1-800-228-5615. What do you think of the governor's proposed budget cuts for the UW system? Do you think it's too much, too fast? Do you think that the UW system can handle it? Like some are saying, it's just a 2.5% cut as a portion of its entire budget. Let us know what you think. 800-228-5615. And if you have a question for any of our guests, feel free to drop a line. You can also comment on the West Side Facebook page. Just look us up. Well, with that, Governor Walker's office and some of the legislators have claimed that UW system officials knew ahead of time that the proposed budget would have been this $300 million cut, that it wasn't a surprise, that people need to just relax. Bob Meyer, let me start with you. Did you know about this ahead of time?
You know, not really. It's we knew that. I think as you looked at the structural deficit that the state was facing, that there was something that was going to come down the pike. So we were starting to get prepared for it. But you know, if you look back to the point where I came in, I started on August 16th, and at that point, the system was really looking at some sort of a request that might be funded to the positive side, a $95 million request. So a lot has changed over a few months.
Right, right. Fernando Delgado over in River Falls, had you guys caught wind of anything coming down the pipe? Again, when we were hearing during the winter, that the state was facing this $2 billion, you know, structural deficit looking ahead, also a deficit in the current budget year of a couple hundred million, I think. Was the writing on the wall?
I don't know that the writing was on the wall. People were throwing numbers out at in early December at meetings that I was at, but the numbers varied tremendously. And as Bob said, and I think Chancellor Schmidt would agree, you know, we spent most of the late summer to early mid-fall talking about this pursuit of investment so that we could do as UW campuses what we've been asked to do, which was partner with the state on economic development, workforce development, and talent development. And so that seemed to suggest to us that if the invitation was there in fall to prepare such a proposal, that things might be difficult in the state, but unlike other years, the UW system might be looked as part of the solution rather than part of the problem.
Sure. Chancellor Schmidt, your thoughts on that idea, also the would it be called a bait-and-switch kind of a situation?
Well, I don't know if it's a bait-and-switch. I've been in public higher ed like these gentlemen for decades, and unfortunately, anytime there's some notion in the wind that the state budget is going to come in at a deficit, we all get concerned.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it's been true in all 50 states. It's been true for decades and decades. When there's a deficit in a given state, they tend to turn to higher education first. It's something that I regret. It's something that I think is a bad policy decision. I think clearly investments in the UW system drive the economy, drive the culture, drive the state. In fact, it was as recently as December at the UW Board of Regents meeting, the lieutenant governor gave a great speech, and she said she knows of no stronger economic driver for the state of Wisconsin than the investment in the UW system. So, you know, we always have hope, but as we hear about cuts, we get concerned. You know, there's been a lot of conversation about how tuition has gone up over the last decade. The fact is, everyone, nearly all of that is accountable to the decline in state investment. And again, it's not just true in Wisconsin. It's been true across the country. I think right now, however, we're in a real bind. Even under Governor Doyle, we had a $250 million base cut. First term with Governor Walker, another $250 million base cut. And then in 2013, a $60-plus million base cut and a two-year tuition freeze. To have another $300 million base cut on top of all those other cuts.
And a tuition freeze.
And tuition freeze. You know, people have said, well, you tighten your belt. We've tightened our belts, folks. We're down to cutting off strong, good programs. And you know what? We'll do it. We will do what's necessary to make sure our institutions operate and are strong. But we are, in my opinion, being penny-wise, pound-foolish.
Bob Meyer, I want to go to you because you were involved with the technical college system. You know, Chancellor Schmidt, and I'm sure you all agree that UW system is an economic driver. But it seems like there's a lot of attention being paid to technical kind of education, technical, you know, welding, machinists. Governor Walker wants workforce-ready kind of things. And some people would say, well, a four-year liberal arts college or whatever doesn't offer that same kind of thing. So do you think that the governor is focusing more on the technical side of things, the technical college versus UW system when it comes to funding and priorities?
Yeah, there's no doubt that there is a focus there right now. If you look at fast-forward funding that is available through the state, it's being focused on those types of opportunities for students that can go through a two-year degree program. There are some studies that indicate in the state that about half of the jobs that are going to be available in the next 10 years are going to require more than a high school degree or diploma and less than a four-year degree. But I think the strategy that the state is using is kind of one-sided or lopsided. I wholly applaud the focus on helping the technical colleges produce graduates that can meet the needs of about half of where the jobs are, but pretty much the other half is going to be four-year degree programs that also contribute to closing the skills gap. In Stout's case, you know, I point to our 97% placement. We're very close to our employers, as is the other institutions that are on the program today. Very interested in meeting employer needs and addressing their skills gap, which might be managers. It could well be engineers and, you know, other professions that aren't two-year degree programs or associate degree programs, but I require a four-year graduate degree and a four-year undergraduate degree, I should say. So I have a feeling that what we need to do is really step back and take a look at the overall strategy for the state and make sure that it's broad enough, that it's really going to address the needs of employers and economic development across the state.
So, you know, UW-Stout is fairly unique. It's a polytechnic university. For Provost Delgado, do you see that the other four-year universities are kind of taking more of a, I don't know, like a technical style approach, more focused on job placement then, and also focusing on high demand kind of sectors more than they had in the past, maybe because of budget cuts, pressure, and what have you?
I think we're all trying to find our identity and niche. Ours is circulating around STEM disciplines. We have partners across the state and across the world who are interested in things that we have in biotechnology, but also in animal science and dairy science. And I think our listeners who understand agriculture know that the price of products and equipment doesn't diminish over time. And so as we look at these budget cuts, it does tend to put pressure on our ability to not just educate our students in those programs, but also to leverage those programs' capacity to partner with industries and to bring additional revenue and investment into the state. We have all been tasked across the system to do economic and workforce development. The irony of it is many of the people who are tasking us at the state level are not that different than those people at the national level. So they may be asking us to pursue technical degrees, and yet if you look at their degrees, they are about as far away from technical two-year degrees as possibly can be had. I worked at another state one time as an example where we were challenged to do the same thing and focus on business-related industries by a governor at the time who had a Bachelor of Arts, as I recall, in art history. Mm. So the irony is not lost on us. We know, because we track the data of all of the wonderful private liberal arts colleges that complement and compete with us for students in the upper Midwest, that they, too, put people into the workforce in Wisconsin and in this region. And they don't nearly have the drumbeats directed at them to become more technical. So I think in some ways it is an important consideration. But certainly as we look at the outcomes of our students and the industries they go into and the successes that they have, it's not just about a narrow band of technical degrees. And I'd like to point out that Stout, as much as River Falls or Eau Claire, has been finding ways to expand and stretch our program array to meet the developmental and professional needs of our students. And so it's not an either-or. It's our effort to do a both-and. And to Chancellor Smith's comment, the challenge is, as we do belt-tightening, what gets lost in that both-and equation? As we're trying to create the best opportunity for our students to find their path to success and partner with industries and communities to build healthy communities and vibrant economies, how do you do that when you're, as Chancellor Smith so eloquently noted, constantly taking money out of the engine that provides that service to the state and region?
I'd like to remind our listeners we're talking about the proposed $300 million cut to the UW system proposed by Governor Walker in his biennial budget. This would be $150 million starting July 1, and then July 1 of 2016. Number to call in is 1-800-228-5615. I'm joined by higher ed officials from the four-year universities in western Wisconsin, including UW-Eau Claire Chancellor Jim Schmidt, UW-River Falls Provost and Vice Chancellor for Academic Affairs Fernando Delgado, and UW-Stout Chancellor Bob Meyer. The number to call in, 1-800-228-5615. We'd like to get you in on the conversation as well, 800-228-5615. I also want to provide some disclosure. Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television is part of UW Extension, which is part of the UW system. So these budget cuts would be impacting us as well. 800-228-5615. I want to break it down for the listeners here. It looks like the proposed cuts, this is according to the Legislative Fiscal Bureau. They had a note that came out in regards to a state senator asking for a breakdown, campus by campus. And judging by their calculations, UW-Eau Claire would be set to be cut about $7.6 million. UW-Stout would look at a $5.8 million cut, just about $6 million there. And UW-River Falls is looking at a cut of $4.2 million. Chancellor Schmidt, there was an article in which you were quoted in the Eau Claire Leader-Telegram, and you had some You mentioned you didn't want to do any kind of scare tactics, but when it comes to cutting, you said this could this kind of a cut on top of what you're already facing could result in some substantial layoffs.
Yeah, the $7.6 million, if the cut is allocated that way, represents about 23.1% of our state appropriation. Now, you're hearing a lot of percentages in the news, what it is,
very
what
confusing.
It isn't. They talk about a $6 billion UW system budget. It's a bit disingenuous. That includes all the financial aid programs, including all the federal loan programs, and just pass-throughs directly to our students. It includes the research dollars that Madison and other schools bring in. But I can say we get about $30 million a year from the state of Wisconsin. We're grateful for that support. And a $7.6 million reduction adds up to 23.1% of our state appropriation. Our total general fund budget, which is where this money would come from, is currently at about $95 million. Combined with the cut in 2013, which we didn't fully take because we spent down our cash balances like we were directed to do, an unfunded pay plan from the legislature, UW-Eau Claire is facing a $12.1 million overall shortfall starting July 1. So my base budget needs to go from $95 million down to $83. That's significant. It's going to be an impact. About 85% of the general fund budget at UW-Eau Claire goes to people. Yes, we have some retirements every year. Yes, people leave us every year. So we'll save some money by not filling some of those positions. But a cut of this side, there's no way to do this without layoffs. There will be people in the classified ranks that no longer are going to be working for us. Some of our faculty, yes, administrators as well. Each part of the university will be affected by this cut. What I'm doing is working with our campus to figure out how do we get out of the woods. It looks dark. We hear scary creatures behind trees. We need to find our path out of the woods, and we're going to try to do it in a very thoughtful way, keeping excellence and the student experience at the center of everything we do. And we don't have much time to do it. As it's been mentioned before, this is just simply too big of a cut, and it's going to happen too quickly. If we'd had some notice, I think I can speak for the other institutions. If we had 2 years to come up with these cuts, it would still be a horrendous job to do. But we could do it in a more thoughtful way, again, protecting the student experience the best way possible.
So are you, I mean, what you, it sounds like you have to plan for this and execute by July 1st.
Well, that's right. And certainly we're going to end up spending down every last bit of our rainy day funds, you know. So there will have to be some things that we have to do over time. Because the fact is we do have employee contracts. We're 85%. People-driven. Higher education, expectedly, is a very human-intensive industry, if you want to look at it. But most of our employees have at least 6 or 12-month contracts, and so we'd have to give notice, and there's a whole process you go through. We'll have to drain our rainy day funds to be able to keep those employee commitments as we are making the decisions of how big our workforce will be.
Spending rainy day funds to honor remainders of contracts.
Yeah, well, clearly, if you know, we need to be building an ARC, it's raining pretty hard, so we'll end up having to use those resources.
When I look at UW-Stoughton River Falls, too, let me go to you, Bob Meyer. $5.8 million, again, it's so funny. Like, I think people have become jaded to the point that $6 million doesn't sound like a whole lot of money. So what does that mean to UW-Stoughton?
Well, it's as Chancellor Schmidt pointed out, this is a significant part of the operational budget. When you take away things that we really don't have discretion over, such as the financial aid flow through and that, for Stout, it's about the same amount. I think I did the math a couple days ago, and it was 24% of our operational budget. The part that I'm really concerned about is that, as Fernando and Jim had mentioned, this isn't the first time that a cut has come along. In 2011, that biennium, Stout was reduced about almost $11 million on budget. Some of that was one-time lapses. About $3.3 million of that was base reduction. In the biennium 2011 to 2013, we had a lapse of $3 million, a little more than that. In the last biennium, the one that we're moving through right now, that'll end at the end of June, we had a base reduction of $2.3 million. So there's just been an erosion that's been taking place over time. and it's really hitting our ability to attract faculty and staff in a negative way. You know, our comparisons for professors and associate professors has dropped down. If we use national survey instruments and comparable institutions, I'm not talking about comparing Stout to something like Ohio State, but institutions of comparable size and comparable mission, our faculty are ranking around 10th percentile. That means 90% of their peers are being paid more than what they are at Stout. So the erosion has happened over a few years. I'm really worried about this cut because I think it sends a wrong message, and I think I'm already starting to see some very good faculty leaving. So maybe UW Stout is the canary in the coal mine, so to speak, but it's not a good indication.
Provost Delgado, UW River Falls, $4.2 million. Do you sense that people are taking a look at maybe an early retirement? I mean, we saw this after Act 10 came through, that a lot of state employees did retire early before any of the cuts to benefits and whatnot happened. Do you sense that happening right now?
I think there's a little bit of a acceleration. I think there's a lot of people considering it. I don't have any firsthand knowledge. It's not the kind of thing a provost would sit down and talk to faculty and staff with.
Sure.
For a variety of reasons. But when people choose to retire, that does provide relief. On the other hand, they may not retire in a way that's strategically beneficial to the university. And so the question is, how do you take that vacant position and choose to refill it in such ways that would allow you to provide the continuity and the excellence that each of our campuses and all of the campuses across the system provide? So that's a bit of a challenge. The other challenge is, as we're all in the middle towards the latter part of our hiring season, the kinds of hard conversations we're having with people who are looking to relocate here and the choices that they have professionally, both within the academy but also outside of the academy, particularly when you're looking at areas like science, technology, engineering, mathematics. We compete for faculty at a national level, and we compete with industry for those same faculty. And so from the outside looking in, much like what we had in 2011 in the aftermath of Act 10, what does the national and regional news say about how things are going on in Wisconsin? How does that impact our ability to attract and retain the talent? How do parents think about the university? I think the three of us are also not concerned, but we're certainly well aware of the distinctions of what's happening in our western part of Wisconsin as we butt up against Minnesota and the investments that Minnesota has had in higher education over the last several years. And so that creates, to Chancellor Meyer's point, an even more vivid comparison, both in terms of how people experience the university, but in the recruitment and retention of talent, our faculty and staff talent. And we have tremendous faculty and staff who, for a variety of reasons, choose to be at our institutions, but could just as easily make that choice somewhere else.
With that, let's take our first break. We've got one caller on the line, Tim in Eau Claire. We're going to get right to you after our break. This is the West Side. We're talking about a proposed $300 million cut to the UW system and what it means for campuses in western Wisconsin. I'm joined by three top officials from UW River Falls, UW Stout, and UW Eau Claire. The number to call in is 1-800-228-5615. We'll be right back in just a bit. I'm Rich Kramer. You're listening to The West Side on Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks for dialing us in this morning. We're talking about universities in western Wisconsin and what they're going through right now to prepare for cuts in the state budget. Governor Walker has proposed a $300 million cut. That's two installments over 2 years. And there's also some offer of flexibilities, and we'll get to that in just a bit, and what it means. The term flexibility is very vague, but the number to call in is 1-800-228-5615. I'm joined by UW Eau Claire Chancellor Jim Schmidt, UW River Falls Provost and Vice Chancellor for Academic Affairs Fernando Delgado, and UW Stout Chancellor Bob Meyer. 800-228-5615. Tim in Eau Claire, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Hi, I am a non-traditional student attending UW Stout from the Eau Claire area. So I actually live in Eau Claire and commute back and forth every day. But my biggest thing that I see, I'm going for manufacturing engineering.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm one of those technical type degrees that nobody else really can't get at the technical schools.
Sure.
But I do see a lot of degrees that, I hate to put it this way, but sound a little useless in the end result. You know, people going to school for political science, people going to school for studio art, you know, things that honestly they're going to have a tough time paying back their student loans that they're taking out once they're done. You know, and also an example of this, I had a friend that went to another UW system school that one of you represent that went for geography, and she was wholly unprepared to be a geographer when she left because she didn't have what the industry wanted her to have in terms of experience with particular software.
Sure. Interesting. Good point there. Tim, thanks so much for calling in. Chancellor Schmidt, I'll go to you. You know, a lot of people have said poli-sci, I feel like, always gets beat up on for being a useless degree. But anyway, what about his point? You know, we should be training people for jobs that are available, not English degrees or whatnot.
Well, I appreciate the question getting asked because it's an opportunity for me to say a few things. One is, as Chancellor Meyer mentioned, we're all out very active working with our business community, finding out what people need. I've now toured more than 70 different companies, met with their CEOs. I ask every one of them, what keeps you from expanding your business in the Chippewa Valley? I'm going right to the profit motive. I'm going right to economic development. What keeps you from doing that? I got the same answer from every single one of them. We don't have confidence we can find the right people. So they already have jobs that aren't being filled. And after they tell me, I say, well, that's interesting. I'm in the people development business. What are you looking for? Many of them say, first of all, don't train them. We'll do that.
Mm.
What we need are strong critical thinking skills, the ability to write and speak articulately, interpersonal skills, the ability to get along with the team they're working in, and finally, problem-solving skills. What I've just described are the underpinnings of a strong liberal education. And I think many people know UW-Eau Claire is well-known as a strong arts and sciences school. Certainly, I think, as someone mentioned earlier, you can go to a place like Carleton, which is primarily arts and sciences, and their students do very well. Those are the important skills that they need to be able to move forward. But I encourage people not to jump to degrees like political science or philosophy as being a problem. If you do Google search, what are some of the top 10 paid majors in the country? If you look at pay as being the only definition of what was valuable, which I reject, but let's go there because people want to go there. Philosophy is in that top grouping of areas, in part because they really do focus on the five things that I mentioned. It gives you the tools to react. There's a difference between training and education. Training you need to constantly doing. What I think we do at institutions is prepare our graduates to take on whatever life can throw at them. Now, certainly, you do expect some technical expertise in some key areas. At UW-Eau Claire, we received two economic development grants, one to head up a nursing initiative, and the other one was around geology, particularly our work in responsible mining initiatives.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that it's important not to categorize things either way. One of the things that has changed at, I think, most of our institutions in the last decade is even our traditional liberal arts programs like political science, like sociology, history, and others. You've got very pragmatic faculty that have seen the kinds of expense students are having. So they're still doing internships. They're figuring out how to do the application of knowledge and what those real-world areas are. Our geography program, for example, is one of the best-paying areas because specifically around what this caller was talking about, our work in GIS.
Mm-hmm.
So people look at a degree and they don't understand how it's evolved. Another point I want to bring out is I talk to these CEOs, most of them have liberal arts degrees. If you ask anyone that really understands business development or entrepreneurship, most of them come from the creative fields, not College of Business like many people would think. Locally, we can point to Zach Halmstead. You know, it took him almost 10 years to get through school. He was paying his own way, working. He has a music degree, and now he has one of the most successful software companies in the state of Wisconsin and a huge economic driver for Western Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
So I appreciate the temptation to want to, you know, say art history and other things don't have value, but there's this notion of being educated that prepares you to take on just about anything.
Real quick, I want to bring up, it's, you already mentioned this, Chancellor Schmidt, but Republican State Senator Frank Lassay wrote an opinion article in the State Journal saying that UW system can handle a mere 2.5% cut. You alluded to this by saying that that might be a little disingenuous. Could you please explain what your response to his statement is, the 2.5% cut idea?
Well, he's accurate. That's 2.5% of the entire
$6 billion.
Of $6 billion. You know, that's a math question that he's being asked to cover. But the problem is that includes all of the federal and state student aid that's flowing through. Look at the loans that our students are doing. Overall, if you look at the state appropriation portion of that $6 million, it's just over $1 billion. So, I mean, it's partly how you look at these and where you slice and dice it. And I can tell you of our general fund, which includes all of our instruction, most of our services, it doesn't include things like housing because that's a kind of a pass-through, pays the school for housing, and that's it. But if you look at our general fund budget, $95 million, if you take out $7.6 million, the simple math there is 23.1. Excuse me, it's 23.1 of the $30 million state appropriation.
Right.
It ends up being a significant cut overall of about 13% if I take a look at the state cuts that I'm being asked to absorb in the general fund budget.
There are a lot of kicks at the cat to be to happen yet, and I'm sure we will all be watching with rapt attention. My question is, what kind of things have been happening at the universities already? I mean, I'm sure once the news came out, there's been some scrambling and a lot of meetings, I imagine. Let me start with you, Provost Delgado in River Falls. Are there any kind of exercises going on? Is there any kind of simulations that the administration is doing as far as where to cut and how?
Sure. There's a lot of back-of-the-envelope stuff going on all of our campuses, I'm sure. You know, we're spending a lot of time talking about how the budget will impact us July 1 and beyond. In academic affairs, we have a different deadline. On most of our campuses, students on our campuses will be registering for classes sometime between the last week in March and the end of the first or second week in April. On our campus like ours, relatively small, a little over 6,000 students, as we project out what these cuts could mean where we speak right now, we're looking at having potentially up to 12,000 fewer seats available to students.
Hmm.
So how do you adjust your curriculum? How do you find even more efficiencies to provide enough options and breadth to the students to pursue their degrees? And we're working hard, and we're working very creatively to make that so. But, again, the experience we will make as best as we can, and we will have a high-quality program, the experience will be different. You know, I walked into this institution in 2009 with my political science degree and my PhD in communication studies, neither of which have ever prevented me from getting a job, by the way, in either hospital administration or in public or private higher ed. But when we walked in here, the state was giving River Falls about $31 million to support our educational mission. At the end of this budget cut, we're looking at about a tick over $13 million. Hmm. So about $18 million less in a little over 5 years. What does that mean? Well, that means that in the combination of state support and tuition, we're going to have to deliver basically the same number of programs. And we've heavily invested in STEM and business areas, to be sure. We're going to have to deliver that education at about $3,000 less per student than we had. And again, it's not just that we've had budget cuts, but when you combine budget cuts with holding down tuition, yes, it's cheaper to the student, but to the caller's point, do you really want us to not be able to pursue upgraded technology, that kind of software? Do you really want our computer science students to be working on four-year-old computers and six-year-old software packages? Do you want our dairy science people not to be on the cutting edge of genetics and herd management? Do you want our plant and earth science people not to be doing cutting edge research and translating that into the classroom? so that we understand the best ways to produce feed and reduce erosion. Those things do not come at a zero cost, and those things certainly do not cost less than they did in 2009. And so those back-of-the-envelope activities are really how do we create in this environment the best possible education to produce the best possible outcomes for our students, our graduates, and certainly for the state and region.
Chancellor Schmidt.
Now, I think that's you're making a great point. Yeah, we all are working. How do we balance our budgets, you know, whether it's the back of a napkin or a spreadsheet? One of the things that came home hard for me, all of us have been doing open forums on our campuses, and I just gotten done doing one last week with a group of faculty and staff, and a student came up to me. He was standing on the stage of Schofield, and he said, "Chancellor, do you have an extra minute?" Because he'd seen me hang around and answer questions from a long line of other people. And I said, "Of course." And he said, well, he introduced himself, and he works in kind of our AV department. He says, "I've been at all your open forums because I've been making sure your microphones and things work." And he said, "I've been giving a lot of thought to this." And he said, "I don't mind if our class sizes get a little bigger." But he said, "You need to hold on to our amazing faculty, those true gems." And he told the story that his mentor left UW-Claire a couple years ago and went to the University of Texas at Austin. We have fantastic people. They could move in a heartbeat for much bigger pay. And for some people, they say, good, that's what they should do. But because of that, the student switched majors. He said, the others are okay. But I said, it drove home the point for me, it's all about people. We are a human-intensive environment. And one of my mentors told me, Jim, access without quality is no bargain. So I think our students deserve more than 120 credits in a piece of paper when they leave our institutions. They deserve to be inspired. They deserve to be around people that can unlock their full potential. This is about the right people, inspiring them. Every listener here has been in a classroom with an inspiring teacher at some level. We need to figure out how we can become even better to retain those. And one of the points I wanted to make is, so you cut and the place didn't fall apart, so they figure they can cut you again and the place won't fall apart. Cuts in education take a while to really show up, and they're really hard to turn around because over time it's your reputation, overall quality. You know, there aren't too many canaries for us to look at to see how they're doing in the mine shaft. It happens over time, and then it gets to be too late. I think there's a reason the UW system is considered among, if not the best system in the country. It's been our quality and our reputation and those inspiring faculty and staff that have made it work. We need, as stewards of those universities, to make sure we don't lose that. So even while we're cutting, we're wanting to make sure we can try to hold on to those best faculty. But the point is made, if we continue to do it, Wisconsin's reputation as a state to attract them is going to diminish.
Let's go back to the phones right now. We go to Patrick in Chautauqua. You're on the air. Patrick, thanks so much for calling in. What's on your mind?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Hey, I just wanted to make a few comments here. I've been listening for weeks now about the debate with the UW system, and I just feel like I really want to speak out. I'm a lifetime of exposure to the UW system, kids going through school in Madison, and I just can't support the idea of the UW system and the higher education in the state enough. During my life, we've lived 17 years down in Illinois, and I'm not picking on Illinois, but they do not have an Illinois system. They do not have the Illinois idea. It's the difference between the two states is incredible. And when I came back up to Wisconsin with my family in 2010 to reconnect, it was like we'd never left, with all of the good things coming out of these schools all across the state. And we live in Chautauqua, so we're well exposed to UW-Eau Claire and UW-Stout and UW-River Falls, which, by the way, with all the agriculture in this state and the colleges of agriculture in Madison and Platteville and River Falls, and the idea of cutting again, it just makes me so darn angry. I can't believe that I'm hearing what I'm hearing, especially in view of the fact, now that I'm on my soapbox, especially in view of the fact that we're talking about this ludicrous property tax that's really $5 a taxpayer, to which almost equals the same cut as the UW system is having forced down its throat. This is nuts. It's just kind of crazy, I think.
Bob Meyer, I want to get your thoughts on this. You've got a gentleman here who's worked up quite a bit about the cuts. He's a friend of the system. What does he do?
Well, I think legislators are listening. The three chancellors, Chancellor Van Galen, Chancellor Schmidt, myself, have been meeting with legislators, sharing our thoughts, trying to indicate what the impact of the cuts are going to be or what they have been up to this point. This hasn't happened overnight, as I've been trying to point out, and I think Jim has eloquently pointed out. This is already having an impact on Stout, and it's going to continue. So, what I hear from Patrick is that he values the UW system, as the chancellors on the phone do, or in the studio with you, Rich. I'd get out there and share those thoughts, because we believe this is a good investment, not only in people but also in economic development. And you got some great things going on in the neighborhood. The three chancellors are working very hard at bringing some new engineering programs in for the citizens in the region, and working cooperatively on doing some things together that would have a common core curriculum and allow mobility for our students. These are some pretty neat things that are allowing us to do some things pretty cost-effectively and also efficiently in terms of learning for our students and opportunities. So, I'd encourage people to share your thoughts. I haven't had a legislator yet that hasn't appreciated having the feedback, so I know they value that. And I know that I think they value the system, too, and I think there's... despite the trend line on state support, which is has been, I think, a bipartisan failure from my point of view, I do believe that there is bipartisan support to try to turn the corner and put things back together. And that's why I believe they are looking at flexibilities that can help get us out of the hole immediately. The problem with those, as they're proposed, is that they're going to take a while to kick in. And we're going to be faced with, what do we do right now to manage through this cut tomorrow?
Well, with that, Patrick, thanks so much for the call. We're going to take our final break. We are running out of minutes here. But when we get back, I want to talk about those flexibilities and what the heck they mean, and how it may help the ease the cuts a little bit, or if it will. Number to call in is 800-228-5615. We're talking about the UW system, $300 million in cuts suggested by Governor Walker. Still has to go through the full legislature, a long process. It seems like it's a little expedited this year, though. The number to call in is 800-228-5615. We're looking at how those cuts might trickle down to the universities in our region. I'm joined by UW-Eau Claire Chancellor James Schmidt, UW River Falls Provost and Vice Chancellor for Academic Affairs Fernando Delgado, and UW Stout Chancellor Bob Meyer. This is The West Side. We'll be right back.
Wisconsin's public broadcasters have joined a national effort to find photos for every person listed on the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Wall in Washington, D.C. The photos will be part of a new education center at the wall. Hi, I'm Mike Crane, Director of Wisconsin Public Radio. Please help us find a photo and honor each of the 1,244 Wisconsinites lost in the Vietnam War. Visit WPR.org/veterans to learn more and to volunteer.
Support for WPR comes from Viterbo University, now offering 10 degree programs in business, healthcare, and general studies completely online, designed to be flexible to meet the needs of working adults. More at online.viterbo.edu.
This is The West Side. I'm Rich Kramer. We're talking about UW system cuts, $300 million proposed by Governor Walker in his biennial budget, $150 million for the next 2 years in two installments. And what does it mean for universities in western Wisconsin? I'm joined by UW Stout Chancellor Bob Meyer, UW River Falls Provost and Vice Chancellor for Academic Affairs Fernando Delgado, UW and UW Eau Claire Chancellor Jim Schmidt. 800-228-5615 is the number to call. And I do want to talk about flexibilities, but first, I just, as far as the last caller got me thinking, and I remember seeing a headline that said that
the universities locally are not going to be advocating for any kind of letter writing campaign. Jim Schmidt, is that true?
Well, no, that isn't true. I, being another political science grad, at least as an undergraduate, I think it's very important for people to be engaged in our democracy.
But I mean, the universities aren't specifically push.
Yeah, we've not gone out with a major campaign.
Right.
We are not contacting everyone saying, go fight this. We think people should do the right thing. What I've done instead of that is to really try to make sure that we're transparent, that we're communicating clearly. What does the cut mean? What does it not mean? I'd encourage people who are interested, if you go onto the UW-Eau Claire website, go to my page, you'll find a link to the budget. And you'll see exactly what we're looking at. We have shared with our alums and our students in a very just the facts, ma'am, sort of way, what does this mean? But I would strongly encourage everyone, both sides, even if you think, by gosh, we ought to take the cuts, I encourage people to be involved in our democracy.
All right. With that, let's talk now about the flexibilities. Basically, the UW system would be turned into what's called a public authority. And that would give the regents some power, more power over things like hiring, firing, spending and raising tuition, from what I understand. Bob Meyer, UW Stout, can you explain it to us in a nutshell what this public authority thing is all about?
Well, it's what we're looking for is a set of tools that we can use in the future to allow the Board of Regents or perhaps the system or maybe even the local campuses to have the authority to make some decisions rather than having it legislated. And currently, it takes a long time to get approvals. You've got a freeze on tuition, for example, that is exasperating the situation. And if you look, for example, I think one of the most important tools that we could be given is having some sort of authority granted related to tuition. And that presents a lot of concerns, I know, in terms of doesn't that add to rising student debt, which is also a concern. But as we start looking at the whole package, and we've talked a lot about the quality of the experience and the quality of the faculty that we're hiring and being competitive on that front, to have some degrees of freedom on that would be very helpful. And we're not talking about going crazy with tuition. That wouldn't be helpful either. If it goes too high, you drive down your enrollments. If your enrollments fall, actually your tuition revenue falls. So you have to be able to market price. In our case, as is true across the system, not all of the programs that we offer are at the same place in terms of cost. And cost is a number of factors. You look at the programs that we have in technology, they're very laboratory intensive, and they also require faculty that have expertise in the field. So we're competing in a market where we've got, for example, weld engineers that can find work out in industry, and we have to compete with those types of salaries. So having some degrees of freedom on the tuition side would be helpful. On the back side of that, we're looking at our program array and making sure that the array has got programs that are valuable for our students, that contribute to economic development, and position the students with starting salaries and ongoing increases in salary that help them address the student debt point of view. I've got two daughters that went through the UW system. One graduated from Stout. She's got a fantastic job in packaging. She's eating away at her student debt very quickly. I'm happy about that. And I've got another one going to Madison right now. So tuition is a concern that I've got as a parent. Every parent has that concern. But, we're not talking about going wild with tuition. We're really trying to offset the losses that we've had in terms of state revenue along the way. And if you go back and look at the trend lines from about the mid-1980s to present, it's totally flip-flop. Tuition used to be about one-third of the budget for the university system across the system or at a campus like Stout, and about two-thirds of the revenue coming in, if you looked at the pie for the budget, the operational budget, it was state-funded. That's absolutely flip-flop. to the point where now students are picking up about two-thirds of that that burden, and about less than one-third actually from the state. So we're going to be very careful if we're granted that flexibility, but and there are a lot of things that we can do with scholarship support and other things to mitigate the impact of it. The other one is that it would be my hope that President Cross is successful in trying to attract authority to have a dedicated funding stream. I'm not exactly sure where that might come from, but I hear suggestions that it might come from sales tax. And the whole idea behind that is to try to stabilize the state commitment to the revenue picture. And if you can do that, you can also at the same time stabilize the tuition fees that we need to charge. So,
Chancellor Meyer, I'm sorry, we're getting close to the top of the hour. I want to ask one final question and let Chancellor Schmidt in on this. Politicians seem reluctant to give up authority, as in power. Is this a reality?
Well, I think it might be a reality. Let's be clear. The public authority just means we're no longer a state agency. Currently, the UW system is treated just like the Department of Transportation, Department of Human Services, Department of Corrections, all of whom rely 100%, by and large, with some federal money, on running them. As Chancellor Meyer mentioned, when this cuts, if they go through, we're going to be well over three-quarters of it coming from students and parents. What I want is the flexibility of not being part of a huge state bureaucracy. I want to take every single precious dollar I have from the state, from students, from parents and donors, and put to the core of our education. I want to clear up one quick misconception.
Sure.
We can't raise tuition without limits because the legislature can push the red button and bring us all right back in. Right now, the Board of Regents has full authority to set tuition. Nothing will change. Right now, what's happening is the legislature has superimposed their judgment over the Board of Regents to cap and freeze tuition. Dr. Meyer has mentioned, if we go crazy, they just push the red button and we're right back.
Mm-hmm.
But so I'd like people not to focus so much on that fear of tuition, because that can be reeled in. And I will tell you, the chancellors will guard that carefully. Just get us out from all the other bureaucracy. That'll help.
All right, gentlemen, that's our time. Thank you so much for your discussion. I'm joined in studio by UW-Eau Claire Chancellor Jim Schmidt, UW-River Falls Provost, Vice Chancellor for Academic Affairs Fernando Delgado joined us by phone, and UW Stout Chancellor Bob Meyer joined us by phone as well. Thank you all so much for the discussion. This will be an ongoing thing, I'm sure. I'm Rich Kramer. Thanks to Team Westside. We'll talk again next week.